Please pray with me. Dear Lord, may this message not be my message. May these words not come from me, but may they come from you. May they serve your purpose and give you glory. Praise your name. Amen. There's a pastor who, at his church during Faith Promise time, gave a rousing, inspiring, motivating sermon on Sunday morning about giving and sacrificially reaching out and helping those who need help. And just a wonderful sermon, and the congregation was fired up. And then he goes home, and that night he and his wife are laying in bed, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, in the midst of a big thunderstorm, hears a loud bang on the door. And his wife pokes him and says, "Go check that out." And so the pastor gets out of bed, kind of grumpy and grumbles, and puts on his robe, goes downstairs, and all the power's out, so he grabs a flashlight and opens up the door, and he's in a bad mood, a little bit irritated, and opens up and says, "What do you want?" And there's this young man who's long hair and kind of unkempt, and looks like he's pretty rough, had a pretty rough life. And the young man says, "Can I get a push?" And the pastor says, "Are you kidding me? You see the weather out here? It's pouring down rain, and it's windy, and it's cold, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm tired." So he closes the door, and he goes back upstairs, gets back in bed, and his wife says, "Who was at the door?" And he says, "Just some person asking for help." And she said, "Well, didn't you help him?" And he said, "No, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's rainy, it's storming outside, and I'm tired." And the wife says, "I can't believe you. After that sermon that you preached this morning, that you would lay there and not help somebody who needed help." He thought, "Oh, okay, you're right." So he got up, put on his clothes, put on some work boots, went downstairs, put on a rain jacket, grabbed the flashlight, goes outside, and it's just storming and thunder and lightning, and he can't see. It's raining so hard he can't see the street or anything. He shines a flashlight, and all the power's out, and he yells out into the darkness, "I came to help. Do you still need help? Where are you?" A little voice from around the side of the house comes back and says, "I'm over here on the swing." It take a couple minutes here. It's easy for us to want to stay in our warm bed, isn't it? And not get up and go out into the storm to help somebody. But that's what we're going to talk about. And we might frame it a little bit differently with the our theme of people are the driving force of missions. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy in one of his letters to him. And this is what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Paul is writing this near the end of his ministry, of his time. And he's writing to Timothy, who is something of a protege and his apprentice. And he's giving instructions and telling him, keep fighting the good fight. Keep doing all the things that you're called to do, because it's important. And then Paul says, "I have already done all that. I have finished the race. And now I'm about to receive my reward." How many of us are reluctant to enter in the race? We all want to finish the race, don't we? But how many of us are reluctant to enter in the race. If you're going to finish the race, then it requires you taking that first step into the race. There are many reasons why we might have trouble with that. Today's flags of all these is the yellow and the red. Because we often, when we think about entering into the race of missions and doing that kind of work, we often hesitate. Or maybe we even find a reason not to even go. We let the red and the yellow flags dominate. And maybe we think that many reasons, Bill shared with us some of the reasons that he came across when he was invited to participate in a mission opportunity. But really, the reasons we hesitate, the reason we don't want to do that, the reason we don't want to go out there and engage in that race and race is because we either don't understand, we either don't care, or we don't believe. Maybe we don't understand what it is God is calling us to do. Maybe we don't understand what it is that missions entails. Maybe we don't understand the opportunities. Maybe we don't understand the need that is out there. Maybe we really don't understand how we can have an impact, how we can make a difference, how God can use us. I promise you, God knows. He doesn't need us to know. He doesn't need us to have all the answers at the beginning of the race. He simply needs us to go. Or maybe we don't care. Maybe we just don't have the capacity to give a second thought about it. Maybe we've got young kids and a full-time job and lots of responsibility, and we really just don't have the capacity in our life to engage an organized mission of some sort. That may be the case. I mean, that's a legitimate concern. Not all of us have the same resources, the same schedules. But is that really a good excuse? We care. We care for people. We know that somebody ought to be doing it. We know that our church needs to be engaged in making relationships and serving people and teaching people. But maybe we don't really care to do it ourselves. As Bill said, we're missing the opportunity to be blessed if we deny an opportunity to serve. Bill, and I'm sure his is just one testimony of hundreds, maybe not thousands in this community, who can say, I wasn't sure, I hesitated, but once I did it, man, it didn't just change that person's life, but it changed my life. Or maybe we don't believe. Maybe we look at this world of the news and TV and we think, man, this place, it's too much. There's too much challenges. There's too much trouble. People are in too bad a shape. The world is too bad off. We don't really believe that we can make a difference. We don't believe that if we step out in faith into the race that anything will happen, or that we can be used at all to make any kind of difference at all. But do we believe Jesus? Do we believe in the promise that Jesus gave us? And one thing we need to think about is the call to get in the race and to engage in missions and to do that work is not necessarily so we'll solve all the world's problems. Jesus said, the poor you will always have among you. But if we don't get out there and engage in the ministry, the missions of the church, then we take away any opportunity God has to bless other people, to bless us, and to teach the world what it means to be a follower of Christ. When we engage in the race, when we get up and we go together, using whatever gifts or talents we've been given, not knowing how it's going to work out, not knowing how we'll be used by God, but trusting that if we're faithful, God is faithful to accomplish great things. We literally can change the world. Let's go back to the pastor who gave that story as a little bit of humorous moment. But let's just pause for a moment. What if that pastor, after he goes out into the storm, and he's probably, I would imagine, be a little bit irritated. The home person wants a push on the swing instead of a push for his car. What if he said, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I'm just going to go with it. And he goes down around the yard, goes to the swing, and just gives the guy a push. And pushes him for a while. And after he gives him a few pushes on the swing, he goes around, sits in the swing next to him. And he says to the young man, maybe about his story, why is it that you're here on my swing in the middle of a rainstorm asking for a push? And engage this young person in conversation. Find out what is off, what is wrong, because that is not a normal thing. You can agree. If the pastor takes that opportunity, the time, the energy, puts aside his preoccupations or his desire to be back in his warm bed, and just takes a chance that God might do something awesome here. What if he were just to sit down and talk with that young person, find out his story, share his story with the young person, find out what's going on in his life, and invite him into a deeper relationship? Maybe the next Sunday, the young man could go to church with the pastor and be introduced to a community that can rally around him, love him, and teach him what it means to be a follower of Christ. It requires us to get up off the couch, to get up out of bed, to get in the race, and to let God do something awesome. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you because you are a God who expects us to act. And you give us many opportunities and many gifts and talents and abilities to do that. Lord, encourage us, motivate us, strengthen us for the work you have for us this coming year, that we may be your church, and that we may teach people about you in powerful and amazing ways. Pray this in your name. Amen.